engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Neil Armstrong reporting the roll and pitch program, which puts Apollo 11 on a proper heading.
Active FM, this is The Void Show. Thank you so much for tuning with us here. My name is Andrew Faladzi Wahahomu, and of course you can be part of this conversation today. We are speaking about the future of astronomy in the African continent. And so today I am joined by Mr. Fabian Peterson, who's of course interested in these kind of things. So he joins us from Netherlands, and of course he's a blogger. He writes stuff about exponential technology. He's in platform design, he's in environmental issues, he writes about graphic design and music production, and also sustainable development goals. Mr. Fabian Peterson, thank you so much for joining us on The Void Show today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I know that you're in Bulgaria. I mean, I think you originally stay in Bulgaria, but right now you're in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, I'm just staying with family in this time, this pandemic situation. But normally, I'm living in Bulgaria. That's correct. Oh.
Okay, so I mean, in South Africa, it's a sunny day. It's a beautiful day. How is it there?
Also sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally, it's summertime here now. Normally, the summers are not. Not every day is so nice, but today is a good day.
So. And in South Africa, it's winter around this time.
Yeah, but I was in South Africa during winter time, but I think it's still can be quite nice.
Where were you? In that time. Which area were you in?
All around Western Cape, Eastern Cape, mostly in the middle of nowhere, really. So
I love Western Cape. I just haven't been there. It's one of my dreams to go there one day.
Okay, yeah, definitely check it out.
Okay, so Mr. Peterson, I can see that, you know, you're interested in so many things, you know, but I think I was just sparkled by seeing that you're also interested in music production. Tell us more about that.
I started more as a hobby. I was, even as a kid, I was learning guitar and trying to learn piano. But at some point, I just moved more into electronic music production. So just digital.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm also posting on, for example, Instagram. Right now, I'm very interested in synthwave and vaporwave. Yeah. It's a style of electronic music.
Yes.
So... you can find me on Instagram, Astrovada, and I'm just sharing and promoting a lot of artists, not only the music, but also the visual art that goes along with it.
You know, I think what's surprising for me is, you know, I don't know if this is what you think or what, you know, people think, but, you know, like music and the kind of stuff that you're interested in, blogging, you know, IT, astrophysics, it seems like a stretch. How do you match the two?
Well, try and error, really. Well, actually, for synthwave and vaporwave, the main theme is science fiction. It's mostly linked to science fiction and even astronomy. No. And the art, planets, stars, moon, earth, they're all recurring themes.
Okay. And of course, today we are joined by Mr. Fabian Peterson, all the way from Netherlands. So we're going to be speaking about the future of astronomy in the African continent. And so right after this, we are coming back with more from Mr. Peterson. So make sure that you join our conversation on Facebook. We have an official Facebook page. The handle is at The Void Show. And so right after this, we will be back.
Hot presenters.
Ha, this is Gavin Inslin.
The best topics.
How do you turn your house from being just a normal home to a five-star hotel?
The hottest music. Say you love me tender.
The most entertaining presenters.
You are on the movie show.
And in your left corner you have Ryan.
And in your right corner you have Dash.
Everything you could ever want in radio.
Radio has never been better.
And of course, you're still with us. This is The Void Show. And if it happens that you have scrolled to this point by any chance, just make sure that you do go back to the beginning and hear the kind of introduction we had. Of course, today we are joined by Mr. Fabian Peterson, all the way from the Netherlands. And we are speaking about the future of astronomy in the African continent. Mr. Fabian Peterson, thank you so much. And again, for joining us.
Cheers.
Okay, so you are a blogger, so you write stuff, right? You write stuff.
Yes.
And you know, when I read the, I think on your LinkedIn profile, I do see that you got to volunteer in several environmental projects and cultural projects, which I
That's
can
correct.
Say that it kind of brought two concerns to your attention, which was a concern of sustainability and concern of technology, I think limiting leverage of technology, right? So
yes.
The question that I want to ask you first is, what motivated you to volunteer? Because, you know, a lot of people just say they believe that I should get paid for what I do. So tell us about your volunteering process. What motivated you behind that?
It was mostly trying to find a way to weld. So after I left high school, I didn't want to go to university direct.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to do some more practical work.
Yes.
But practical by work, I mean, I didn't want to do any part-time. I want to do something more which would allow me to develop skills,
yeah.
Learn more about the topics I'm interested in. So that's how I got interested in volunteering.
Yeah.
And my first big volunteering activity was in South Africa, actually.
Wow.
It was in a wildlife conservation project.
Yes. Okay. So now you mentioning a point about you, I think you wanted to do more practical work than going to
yes.
the university. I mean, so to someone who's probably listening to this right now, what would you advise? Which advice would you give to them? I mean, should you go to practical world or should you go to university? I mean, you know, what do you think? Which one is more better?
Well, you definitely should take in account what your plans are. So
yes.
for example, you are interested in astronomy and you want to do this scientific work, you want to become an academic.
Yeah.
Then obviously going, let's say, to university, learning all the theory, learning all the mathematics will be a requirement.
There is still some theory in the university that's given in universities.
Yes. but I think that a lot of people, they just study because they think that's that's expected, even though they don't have they don't have a long-term plan. They don't know what they want to do.
I like that.
And then I would say it's maybe not always the best idea to go to university, especially in those places where it's also very expensive.
Yeah, right.
I think a lot of the skills, and especially skills for the future, can be learned definitely just on the internet, just by doing practical work, by volunteering, by doing internships.
No. That's definitely true. And especially around this time, I think we do have a lot of even free courses on the internet that are given to the public, right? So now, just following this, I mean, you volunteering, I think you said that brought two concerns to your attention, which is the concern of sustainability and the limiting leverage of technology. Talk to us more about that.
Sorry, I didn't get the last part.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, like you volunteering brought up like two concerns to your attention. So the first one, which is sustainability And the second one, yes, which is the limiting leverage of technology. So just to tell us more about those two factors.
Yeah, so I will take about the sustainability of the project itself.
Mm.
Because when I was working on the projects in South Africa, but also some other places,
yes,
I noticed that technology is not always used to the maximum extent.
Mm.
Like there's a lack of technological ability.
Definitely.
Within the organization, mm, which can make them very inefficient and which also causes them not to reach like the audience or the people they need to get to keep their project rolling.
So you do think that maybe using technology would push companies to maybe contribute to the improvement of knowledge?
Yeah, for example, even if you're a non-profit, if you're an NGO,
yeah,
I would say, for example, marketing is, yeah, very important.
Yeah.
But marketing is often seen as something you can't do unless you have a big budget. That's something you really need to spend money on.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, with all the social media platforms, with blogs and and so on, you can do a lot of, you can get really far in marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Even just using these free platforms. But I see a lot of organizations still are not really involved with this.
Okay, so yeah. You just mentioned the point that when you were in South Africa, so you saw that technology isn't really used to, I mean, its maximum level that it can be used. So what do you think can be, what measures can be put in place so that this technology is used by people in, you know, a lot of countries that are not using them that much?
Yeah, that's... I think there could be an initiative that actually actively works with people and organization to introduce them.
Yeah.
Because, for example, when I was working in South Africa, I was working with the organization. Okay, the managers of this were already a bit older people.
Oh yeah.
Who are not too familiar with new technologies.
Oh yes.
So they were relying on kind of agents to find volunteers for them. But a lot of these agents are there, for example, charging money for you to get a position, which again reduces the amount of volunteers that they can get access to. So if an organization, rather than playing the agent, they introduce the organization on how to use social media, to connect to volunteers, to connect to resources. I think that can be helpful.
No, that really is beautiful. And of course, if you just joined us, we do have Mr. Fabian Peterson all the way from Netherlands, and we are speaking about the future of astronomy in the African continent. So let's just get straight to this point, Mr. Peterson. So on your blog, there is, I think, a title that you wrote about, there are gaps in observational astronomy, right? And so
yes,
I did a show not so long ago where I was speaking about different kinds of maybe positions in this astronomy field. And I did say that we do have observational astronomers and we do have theoretical astronomers. So when I read on your blog, there was an article about some gaps in the observational astronomy. And of course, observational astronomy would be astronomers who just spend most of their time using telescopes. So in a nutshell, there's just a lot of hardware there. So
yes, yes.
What did you mean when you spoke about gaps in observational astronomy? What did you mean by that?
So what I mean is that with the new tools that are used for observational astronomy,
yes,
there's this trend that the goal is to build larger and larger telescopes,
yes,
which means they become also more expensive
yeah.
and harder to build. And what happens if you do this is that you have several organizations working together, which mm-hmm. of course is a very good thing.
Yeah.
But it also means that you have to compromise on, of course, you have all of them have to share these tools, which means if you have different research objectives,
yes.
You will have to make compromises when, like, who can use this tool at what time,
yeah.
for how long.
Yeah.
And this can create a gap. For example, if your research goals are to observe certain objects in space over longer time periods.
Yeah.
Because you simply cannot get access to these tools, to these telescopes for that kind of long term.
Hmm.
And that's where a gap can be created.
Yes.
Because there are too many actors all dependent on a limited amount of tools.
Okay, so now, because I do see that, you know, in most of the time when you speak, you talk about costs. So, and which I believe is one of the main factors in observational astronomy, as you just said.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of hardware, big telescopes that should be built, and, you know, they are so expensive sometimes. So do you think maybe there are some measures that could be put in place to minimize these costs? Because I mean, we really do need to explore space, but with much less cost. So what do you think about that?
Yes, so I think if we are talking about detail work, like yeah. gathering more detailed data,
yeah, yeah,
we are really stuck with these very expensive things, because to gather more detail, you will have to need bigger telescopes, basically.
Right.
But in terms of gathering data about objects in space over longer time periods, there are some alternatives, because you can still gather useful data about for this with smaller telescopes.
Oh.
Because we are really interested about looking at objects and how they evolve over time, how they behave over time. So even a small telescope, if you have a smaller telescope, but you
yes.
can really assign it to this one specific object that you want to observe.
Yeah, yeah.
Then, of course, the price can be reduced a lot, because you can have a smaller telescope.
Yes.
And this can be both on Earth.
Yes.
But then you will need to have several, because the Earth is turning. So
yeah.
you need to have always a telescope there where it's dark and there where it's not cloudy to be able to look. But also, interesting development right now, I think, are CubeSats. So CubeSats are small satellites,
oh,
which
yeah.
are designed by dimensions of 10 by 10 by 10 centimeters. They can be bigger, but that's
yes.
the smallest size. And now people are also looking at how can we use these small satellites, so we shoot them into space,
yeah.
and how can we use them for astronomy? And because they are so small, you can launch several of them in one go.
Oh.
So it's not like a big space telescope, again, which is really heavy, which is
yeah.
really expensive.
Yes.
Which takes years to plan, or even just to plan the launch.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
with the small satellites, you can have like a constellation, and you can assign one of those to an object you find very interesting.
Yeah.
And those small satellites can also perform this long-term observation and collect data about how these objects are changing over time.
Hmm. Okay, no, that is really amazing. And so we do have Mr. Fabian Peterson joining us today, and we are speaking about the future of astronomy in the African continent, which we're gonna speak more about when we come back from this beautiful gem. So right now, tell me first, what kind of music you listen to?
Of course, synthwave and vaporwave.
Oh.
A lot. But
yeah.
really, I like pretty much all kinds of
yeah.
musical genres.
Okay. So I'm going to give you this gem. I'm playing it for you.
All right.
And this is actually an album by Active Worship, and it was released last year, 2019. So it sounds a bit reggae, but then I think you love it. Now, here's a song by Active Worship saying Visions and Dreams. I hope that you did enjoy that jam. And obviously, I was playing it for our guest today. We do have Mr. Fabian Peterson. And of course, if you've just scrolled to this point, you want to make sure that you go back to the beginning and really hear the kind of the conversation that we were having with Mr. Peterson here. He's a blogger. He writes about pretty much all things, you know, exponential technology, sustainability, and in more particular, of course, in science. And so, Mr. Peterson, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you.
Okay. So you do want to make sure that you join in this conversation. It will be there on YouTube as well. Just a safe platform for you to get this is go to our official Facebook page. The handle is @The Void Show with Andrew. So, Mr. Peterson, There is one article that you wrote about, and I think, you know, it really is interesting, and it was titled Your Way to the Big Bang, right?
3D printing your way to the Big Bang. Yes. Yes.
So before we really get more on talking about that, you know, what you wrote about, I want us to speak about the Big Bang first. Now,
all right.
And of course, this, in many cases, it's sort of like a philosophical argument between the people of different fields. Because, you know, people in science, I don't think a lot of them would argue about what Big Bang is. But, you know, it kind of like maybe there's belief systems. Maybe let's say if you're a Christian, you know that the universe began in this way. If you are a scientist, you would know that, no, we have a Big Bang. So I just want to hear your thoughts about the Big Bang. What do you think about the Big Bang?
The Big Bang?
Yes, the Big Bang theory.
The Big Bang theory. You want me to explain it, or?
No, I just want you to tell me if you know, you really do believe that there was a Big Bang or not.
Well, I always believed there was a Big Bang, yes, but now people are even talking about we are in a computer simulation, and I mean, the scientists talking about scientists talking about this. So
yeah.
I'm not sure. For me, science really means that you will have to be able to do the test yourself, to do the experiments yourself.
Yeah.
And only there you can really find scientific proof.
Yes.
Originally, I was not so sure about people being critical about the theories that most scientists were.
Yeah.
Promoting, but now scientists are even fighting about this, so I'm not sure about it.
Okay. No, thank you for that. So tell us about 3D printing back to the Big Bang.
Yes,
so tell us more about the article that you wrote.
Well, so this this also cuts into the topic about cost, really. And
yes.
The machines for science.
Yeah.
So of course, telescopes are getting expensive, but particle accelerators, which are one of the main machines, which are used to explore the, you know, what the Big Bang would have been like.
Yes.
Those machines are of course also massive and costing billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so I wrote this article to discover some alternative ways to build also these particle accelerators, but build them in a way that also makes them more affordable.
More
basically.
Affordable, yes, and more efficiently, yeah. Right?
Yes. Can you make them smaller? Can you make them more powerful? Can you make them more easily accessible to different research institutions?
Yeah.
So, and I mentioned 3D printing in this article because there are some new materials being designed, like polymer.
Okay.
Which are kind of like transparent materials that can be printed with a 3D printer.
Wow.
And these materials can also be used for new type of particle accelerator.
Huh.
Which uses light to accelerate particles. And these polymers, these transparent materials, are used to steer the light in a way that it can be used as an accelerating force.
Yes.
And this could be a candidate that could make this possible to actually manufacture small scale particle accelerators and make them affordable and more widely used.
No. That's interesting. So I hear you speaking about, you know, particle accelerators. So how would you explain particle accelerating? Why do we have to do particle accelerating, and how do we do it to someone who probably does not know what that means, like particle accelerating?
Yes, so if you have the most basic building stones of all materials. Yeah. So you have atoms.
Yes.
You can go even down with neutrons, electrons.
Electrons.
And then particle accelerators basically studies that if you have these particles interact at very high speeds.
Hmm.
So right now in CERN, for example, they use protons.
Yes, yes.
So they have basically just a swarm of protons, mm. and they accelerate them with magnets. And these protons go near the light of speed. They reach near the light of speed.
Yeah.
They can do this because they are so small and so light.
Yeah, so small, right?
Because nothing can go faster than light, but protons can come very close to this speed. And then if these protons at some point start... like smacking into each other.
Yeah,
there's very interesting stuff happening. Like there's new particles appearing, disappearing.
Yeah,
and basically, that's what particle physicists study.
Hmm. That's interesting. And so, do you think maybe in the future we will have more cheap material to use to study the universe?
Yes, I definitely think so, because actually particle accelerators have some practical appliances already.
Yeah.
For example, they're using for cancer treatment.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because you can aim very precisely with these particle accelerators.
Yeah.
Only hit the parts that needs to be hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And even for scanning in airport security. So I would imagine the more affordable you make this technology, the more and more applications can be found for this.
Hmm.
And of course, a side effect of having an actual industry, of having an actual market for this technology, makes it in turn also again more affordable for scientists.
Yeah.
And to use it for their research.
Hmm. No, that's beautiful. Now I found something that's very interesting that you also wrote about. I mean, you write about things, and you know, I love your articles. You were speaking about science lacks entrepreneurship, and
yes.
So I found this very intriguing. But before we speak more about that, how would you define entrepreneurship, like relative to what you wrote about, like in science?
Entrepreneurship to me means that you can take ideas that already exist and combine them in a way that creates a new product, that creates a new service, find a new application for it.
Yes.
So trying to go away from you learn to use something in a specific way, but to try to find new ways. In that way, innovate.
Mm. Hmm. Okay, so what do you mean by science lacks entrepreneurship?
So lacks entrepreneurship in the sense that I think that the leading scientific organizations,
yes,
they're very bureaucratic in nature.
Yeah.
So if you talk about organizing a budget, making plans for building a new machine, you know, this takes very long. It takes several people who have maybe already been years and years. So the people who have the leaderships, they're already years and years working in a certain way.
Mm.
So the amount of directions that the projects can go is limited.
Mm.
So I think that because a lot of technologies like 3D printing, like artificial intelligence, make things more affordable to try out new things, to try to find ways for new technologies that they can get a new application in science.
Yeah.
But I think these bureaucratic institutions, of course, they're doing great work. It's not supposed to be a criticism.
Yeah.
It's just that the new ways of using technology, the new ways or the new applications are often cannot be discovered due to this.
Okay, no, that really is beautiful. So I remember one day, you were listening to The Void and you told me that you like the fact that we were speaking about the educational system getting more and more obsolete, right? So how would you, you know, relate to the educational system with science lacking entrepreneurship?
Yeah, so because a school trains you over years, over many years, to prepare you for a specific job or to work in a specific narrow field.
Wow.
But because technology is changing so much and there's more and more automation going on, I think you cannot rely anymore for a school to train you over many, many years. And then afterwards, for your working career, what you learned to remain relevant all the way through.
Yeah.
So it's important, I think, for anyone, even if you're studying in university, you need to take on a mindset that in the end, education is your own responsibility.
Hmm.
And also, it's important that you keep educating yourself throughout your life, because things are changing. Like, even if you think you have some specific job security right now, in 10 years, it can be completely different. There are so many factors that we simply do not control about this. And I think if you're, if you're studying or learning for a specific job, this you always need to keep this in mind. And that way you can prepare yourself to succeed in the future.
And you actually remind me of you know, I was listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm sure you know him. He's a popular scientist, and you know, he said that right now our educational system is not teaching our students on how to think of the evidence, on how to, you know, innovate, but instead it's just teaching them on what to know, right?
So yes,
I definitely do think that that's a huge problem. Now, do you want to add something there?
Yeah, I mean, as he says, he's completely right. Education now is more the accumulation of knowledge.
Of knowledge.
But but I mean, once artificial intelligence is going to take over, it doesn't matter how good your memory is. Artificial intelligence and computer are going to memorize knowledge better than you. So, and so if that's your education, we have a problem here.
Okay. All right. So tell us about the future of astronomy in the African continent. What do you think about the future of, you know, science in this world in particular?
Yes, so I think that especially because there's now so many new technologies that can find application for science, I think there's a lot of new players that can arise in many new fields. So, for example, with those small telescopes, with the CubeSats, with the small satellites. And these technologies, they level the playing field. So, for example, previously you had NASA, who basically leads anything that's launching into space. Like they are the leaders. There's no there's no competition. It's just NASA, and if you want to participate, you can be a contributor. But still, in the end, that's also business. The amount you contribute is the amount you can use the tool or whatever the project is. But I think we will see a lot of new like players in the field that because these cheaper technologies anywhere in the world can start contributing. Not only start contributing, but even become a leader. A leader in this new field, in this new technology, this new application. So I think that all over the world we can see new and new innovations with these technologies. So for example, a lot of smaller countries in Africa, but also outside, they, for example, started the first satellite mission using a CubeSat. So even previously, if it was not possible due to lack of funding, for example, they could not do like the big satellite built by Boeing. But this CubeSat technology completely democratizes satellite technology, basically. And now, smaller countries, even just small groups where, that have a common interest,
yeah,
can be involved in the development of these technologies. Yeah.
Okay. Now, all right. Thank you so much for that. And so, there's a game that I want to play with you.
Okay.
Okay. So, do you know how to sing?
Not really, no.
Okay, so in this game, then you're gonna have to sing for us if you happen to lose the game. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a question, right? You just have to answer it, and if you lose it, then you're gonna have to just come up with a song for us quick on the Void Show.
All right, let's go.
Okay, now you're going to have to choose a number for me from 1 to 8.
I have to choose any number?
Your favorite number from 1 to 8.
Let's take a 5.
Let's take a 5. Okay, let's see. Now, I ask you a question based on the number that you chose. And now, if you get it right, you don't have to sing for us. But if you get it wrong, then you sing for us.
All right.
Okay. Now, the thing is, you have to answer this in 3 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is the question. You chose number 5. And so the question is, give me the name of the planet that's on the 5th position. 1, 2,
Jupiter.
You are right. Okay, no. thank you so much for joining us on the Void Show, Mr. Fabian Peterson. It was really great to have you around here
again. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so do you have any social media platforms maybe where our listeners can just find you on?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, where I curate a lot of technology and science news.
Beautiful, yes.
My Twitter handle is Fabian Psen. So that's FabianPsen, all written together.
Okay.
Then on Instagram for my music projects, you can see Astrovada. It's Astro.
Yes.
Vada. Okay. Also written all together.
Okay, beautiful. Is that all? Yes. I think you have a page on Facebook. Don't you have a page?
Yes, it's the Terrayana, which is also the name of my website, terrayana.com.
Yes.
And which is all the handle for Facebook. And Terrayana is written TerrayanA.
Okay, beautiful. Mr. Fabian Peterson, I cannot really thank you enough for joining us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any last words maybe that you want to share with us? Maybe motivation, maybe a code. I don't know, just anything that you want to share with us. Please do share with us.
Listen to the Void Show.
No. That's brilliant. And of course, this is Mr. Fabian Peterson joining us today. And if you happened to have just scrolled to this point, you do want to make sure that you go back and really hear what we were speaking about. He's a blogger. He is interested in science, in astrophysics, in astronomy. And you definitely want to go check his work out. And of course, you will find this on YouTube. We are there. But just to check our official Facebook page, our handle is at The Void Show with Andrew. Mr. Fabian Peterson, thank you again for the last time, I promise.
Thank you.
Okay, so right after this, I will be closing.
Live right here on Active FM, we bring to you the Active Worship Inception album.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. I rejoice that your word unfading. I feel every instantaneously. I find myself in the presence of the Lord.
stream the album on Spotify and Apple iTunes. If you're interested in downloading the album, well, contact us for more info.
And of course, this is still The Void Show. My name is Andrew Falatsi Khomu, and this is Active FM. As we all and always say, that radio has never been better. Today, we had Mr. Fabian Peterson all the way from Netherlands joining us, and we were speaking about the future of astronomy. So please make sure that you do check us on all our social media platforms. If you want a safe platform to check out all our shows on Active FM, it's www.activefm.co.za. We are there on Twitter. Our handle is at ActiveFM, Instagram, ActiveFM777, and we are on Spotify. So if you just search The Void Show on ActiveFM on Spotify, you will definitely get us there. So please make sure that you do follow us there. We are on YouTube. We are on TikTok. We are literally everywhere, on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. So if you just search ActiveFM, you will definitely find us there. Now, the question that I always ask is, today, what did you learn today? And of course, with this elapsed time, we had our guest, and really he shared a lot with us. The question is, what did you learn on today's episode? So make sure that you do tag us, tell us what you learned on The Void Show today. And so from me, myself, and I, Andrew Falatsi Khomu, broadcasting in the Free State, South African province, I am signing out. I'll see you next time, same place.
Active FM, radio has never been better.